Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk with Alfredo Alonso, get his take on all the politics and gaming issues. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Angie Taylor, Derek Morris, and Chip Evans. All coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program Alfredo Alonso, principal with Lewis and Rocha. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Just wanted to start out, we're going to talk about this more on the pundit panel, but I just want to get your take on the front page story on the New York Times today. It's moved up to the top of the New York Times website with accusations against Representative Shelley Berkley that she helped lead a successful effort to get officials from Washington to back down on shutting down the kidney transplant program at UMC. The Berkley campaign, you know, fought back immediately with a lengthy piece saying that the New York Times story attacks Nevada's only kidney transplant facility and ignore crucial facts in order to drive a misleading narrative about the congresswoman. The gist of the story is that that her husband benefited from her actions in this. What are your thoughts on this, and what are your thoughts on the fact that it's the New York Times leading the charge here?
Well, I guess that's the significant part of this, is that it's not someone locally, it's not a campaign, it's New York Times, and so obviously it's a damning piece, and it's serious, considering we're going right into an election cycle here, and she's running for U.S. Senate. So, you know, again, until we have all of the facts, and you know, this is fleshed out, it's hard to make a judgment call. But again, New York Times doesn't just write articles and only to retract later. I think it's a serious matter for the Congresswoman.
And of course, we will be more than happy to have Congresswoman Berkley on the program to explain her side of things whenever she would like to do it. Let's turn our attention to the Amedee Marshall race. Your thoughts on that and the lack. I mean, it's not that there hasn't been money spent, but I mean, just if you look from a campaign sign point of view, there's not a lot.
No, and I think people have to understand this is because it's a special election and we don't do a lot of these. In fact, I think you know, it's important to remember that that the state had to go to court to ultimately determine how this special election would be set up. So, you know, I think the fact that you're not in a normal cycle, people are simply not as interested. If you can you know, possibly imagine being less interested today than they would in a regular election. But again, I think you've got two individuals. It's just one race. I think it's difficult for anybody to run a much better race than they probably have. I mean, they're not going to have the funding they would normally have. You know, so at the end of the day, I'm not surprised. I think it's expected, and you know, it's a tough race for both of them, particularly again because you have no other attention getters.
Do you think that for Kate Marshall, this is laying down a marker for a future election? If you look at the makeup of the district, obviously it plays towards Mark Amadei.
Oh, I think so. I think this was a tough race for any Democrat, and I think Kate is under the circumstances done a good job. But you know, again, you're talking significant numbers of Republicans over Democrats in this race. Until these seats are reapportioned, which we're looking at probably sometime in the new year, if we're lucky.
Really? You don't think it's going to be done before year's end?
If you look at how long these court, you know, the court could take and the appeals, I think it could very well be in the, you know, first part of the year, maybe longer. So again, for Kate, this was a good trial balloon. I think she gets her name out. I think it's a type of race where I think she'll learn from it. But Mark was just, again, too strong, too well-funded, too difficult to beat.
And it was interesting because I was at the debate that Mark Amadei didn't attend at ASUN last week, and it was interesting to watch Kate Marshall addressing some of the issues from the campaign ads, which would certainly help her down the road. You know, the accent, things like that, the same things that Dina Titus dealt with. Let's turn our attention to the economy. As you look at, and you have clients across the spectrum, but as you look at the state's economic engine in the gaming industry, with exceptions like the Cosmopolitan, where you have such a heavy debt load and they have problems with gaming that they're trying to fix, but along the strip, do you think that things have stabilized and are starting to come back?
You know, I think the indicators are there that at least people are coming to Las Vegas, and particularly Las Vegas. Reno, I think our special events help our case out there, and that has been significant this summer particularly. But I think the problem you have is again, we're, you know, we had horrible job numbers for the last quarter. There are a lot of bad signs of the, you know, in the economy that we, you know, that we could get into a double dip. Some are saying we've been there the whole time. I'm not so sure that we ever got better. I think we've just been bumping along on the bottom. And then you've got bad news in Europe. All of that could exacerbate things, obviously, but it seems to be, even as a result of the bad news, Las Vegas still seems to be doing a little bit better. I mean, I know that their gaming revenues are up. I think they went up about 4% in with respect to the room occupancy rates. So, I think it's all good news. You know, if in fact we are just bumping around on the bottom and things are going to get better, that stands to reason to some degree, makes some sense with respect to what's happening in Nevada. We still have a housing problem. We still have inventory out there that needs to be depleted before you can see some numbers and some real growth in that sector. So things aren't good, but they certainly look better in Nevada.
All right, let's take a break. More with Alfredo Alonso when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
We'll be right back. This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Alfredo Alonso. He's a principal with Lewis and Rocha. I want to continue on this gaming theme just for a minute or two more if I can. Interesting, Steve Wynn popping off a couple of weeks ago and saying that if it weren't for the Obama administration being in power, he'd be willing to put up another property in Las Vegas, hire 10,000 people, have another 20,000 jobs available. On the other end of that spectrum, about 6 months ago, Phil Ruffin on this program said that he wouldn't build anything, that this was not the time to build. He might buy something if it was a deal, like he bought Treasure Island, but not to build. Your thoughts, was that just gamesmanship on Steve Wynn's part?
Well, I mean, Mr. Wynn is, you know, it's hard to quarrel with someone who understands the gaming industry as well as he does. I mean, he's a pioneer. This is a man that I think many can argue, you know, built Vegas to what it is today. But I'm not so sure you can blame one person. I think we were down the economic cliff, you know, before Obama came to office. Whether things could have quickly repaired itself or not, I mean, I don't know. No one.
But I think
else.
The bigger picture is: do you think that anybody would be smart to build a major property in Las Vegas? And certainly, if anybody's making money in Las Vegas right now, it's Steve Wynn. But is there enough draw to be able to build another high?
My first
property?
Inclination is no. But if Steve Wynn says that it would make money, it probably will. I guess that's the question: is, you know, would it take from other hotels, or would it ultimately enhance the Vegas experience? I don't know the answer to that. I think, again, only Steve does. But, you know, for him to say that is pretty important because, again, he's not failed yet, as far as I know.
No, certainly not. The Plaza in downtown Las Vegas, $35 million spent by the Tamaras Group to refurbish the property. They took all the furnishings from the Fontainebleau that's not going to open anytime soon, and have developed a property that people are comparing now to the Golden Nugget and saying that this is, you know, not necessarily a huge competitor, but another property in downtown Las Vegas of high quality. Your thoughts on what you can do with $35 million if you're buying things at such a rock bottom price?
Well, I thought it was a brilliant move. I mean, I think the fact that they had this aged property that clearly needed significant work
and it was awful. And they have transformed
that's to say
it.
Yeah, an understatement. And again, to be able to take, you know, a property that wasn't going to go anywhere and was being mothballed and ultimately benefit downtown Las Vegas was huge. I mean, I think, again, it was a brilliant move. It was a very frugal move that ultimately, you know, they probably did it for a third or less than it would have cost to, you know, to do it today. So, again, I think it's going to enhance the downtown area and the Plaza. Plaza's got a history. People will go down there. You know?
And that's one of the things that's been talked about.
Yeah.
Is one of their big selling points. It's interesting to juxtapose that with the Murillo Group, who picked up the Grand Sierra in Reno. That was originally the MGM, going back to 1978, the largest property in Reno, hotel convention property. And they bought it for $42 million. The previous owner spent $150 million and invested another $90 into that property. They announced that they're going to do a renovation of all the rooms and the casino area and build a new restaurant and a dance hall for $25 million. My thought is, if you're going to do a renovation for $25 million, you might not want to tell anybody about it.
I would agree with that. Again, you know, I think it's great that they purchased the property from the bank. I hope they can make it work. It's a great property. It always has been. I think the problem for Reno, as you know, besides Indian gaming, has been we haven't done the greatest job of marketing ourselves. And I think, you know, once this economy gets better, I think that we have the people there that can ultimately help on that front. And I think we've learned a lot over the last 5 years.
But I mean, you look at the Atlantis spent around $90 million on an upgrade and a building expansion. Peppermill spent well over $300 million on their expansion. $25 million.
I agree, but again, you know, they may be able to find some deals like the Plaza did. I'm not going to even begin to guess what they're doing. But, you know, do I believe that you have to spend the money in order to draw people? Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, if nothing else, the Peppermill and the Atlantis have proven that. You know, but you're starting out with a great property. You know, so I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they make a go of it.
Is a correlation here, because the person running both properties, when you talk about the Plaza in downtown Las Vegas and the Grand Sierra, the legendary Tony Santo, a man with a storied career in gaming. So if anybody can pull it off, I think that Tony Santo...
I believe he ran it when it was the Hilton.
Yes, he did. He certainly did. Yeah. His resume is unbelievable, and we've invited him to be on the program. Let's talk about Macau. The gaming revenues in August up 57%. Unbelievable numbers.
Well, and that's why a lot of the Nevada, you know, some of the Nevada gaming companies that maybe... doing less than wonderful in the state of Nevada, are their numbers are skyrocketing because of Macau. Again, you're in a position where now you have Las Vegas quality facilities, you know in Macau. You know, people are high rollers and folks that used to fly out to spend a week in Las Vegas are now staying at home. Again, similar to the Indian casino issue, and so I think that Las Vegas is just going to have to, as it always has, remake itself. And how to do that is going to be really the question. How long Macau does this well is also the question, because it's cyclical, and it may be 10 years, but, you know, again, Las Vegas is a good example of how something that seems bulletproof can ultimately get hurt by an economy. Or a difference in how people feel about gaming.
We've got about 10 seconds left. Do you think that the Harris plan with Project Sync is the answer?
I don't know yet. I mean, I think there's going to need to be a lot of thought put into the gaming industry and how younger people view it, and ultimately the future. Is it going to be more along the lines of Facebook and electronic means, and how to, you know, really bank on that? Or do people really like the bricks and mortar, or is that in the past? I don't know the answer yet. I think we're going to have to obviously figure that out.
And ask our kids. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Injuries on the job change your life. Get back on your feet with answers you need. Loud and loud, good news in bad times.
You're too sexy in those glasses. Too sexy in those glasses. Too sexy, yeah.
Your glasses, whew, you really do look good. Whew. You're fogging up my lenses.
Find the look that works for you with Eyemaster selection, service, and prices. Now, buy one complete pair of eyeglasses and get the second pair free. Any frames, any lenses. Eyemasters.
That works.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org.
I'm Joe Laub of Laub & Laub. Walk in Wednesday without an appointment. Call today, get in today. Get your worker injury answers free and fast. Walk in, call, or email. Real answers right now. Laub & Laub.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Chip Evans is here. He's the former chair for the Washoe Dems. Angie Taylor is a consultant with Guardian Quest. And Derek Morse is a consulting engineer. Pleasure to have you all here. And an interesting morning to wake up. And my Nevada alert from the New York Times has a story that is right at the top of their website this morning. A congresswoman's cause is often her husband's gain. And what they're talking about is Congresswoman Shelley Berkley, and who helped a successful effort to get officials from Washington to back down when they were trying to shut down this kidney transplant program. And what they're suggesting in the article is that her husband, who is a doctor, gained from this. Of course, the Berkley campaign fired back right away and said the New York Times story attacks Nevada's only kidney transplant facility and ignore crucial facts in order to drive a misleading narrative about Congresswoman Shelley Berkley's efforts to improve care for sick patients in Nevada. She has a long history of fighting for better health care. I think the biggest story for Nevadans is the senatorial race and how this might play into that.
Well, perhaps it will, but
perhaps.
Perhaps. Well, no. I think at the end of the day,
can't you write that campaign commercial right there?
Yeah, I can write the campaign commercial. That says, you know, access to health care in Nevada is a huge issue. And even if she wasn't married to a doctor, I would expect our elected representatives to be going to bat for preserving the ability to have transplants in the state. That's a very sensitive subject, and they were. You know, it makes perfect sense to me that anybody in a political office here would be fighting to maintain that coverage here.
Melanie Sloan with CREW, the ethics organization that went hard after John Ensign, said that basically she couldn't really find a major ethical problem, but it was kind of iffy ground. But don't you, I mean, the implications for Dean Heller are just stunning.
I think the implications will be there. His campaign will jump in, you know, of course, try to make it as big of an issue as they can. But I have to go with, if it's a necessary function and activity that we need here in our state, if people here in our state need to have those transplants, their health issues are at stake, I would like to think that that's going to outweigh, you know, some maybe sort of kind of thing. I mean, if we need to have that, we need to have it.
You know, the New York Times is frequently accused of a leftward-leaning bias. This is certainly not a leftward-leaning bias.
You know, if there's something there, they're going to find it. If there's not, it's another distraction from the main issue, which is the economy. It's the economy, it's the economy, it's the economy. You know, and that's what they need to be talking about as far as I'm concerned. Again, if there's something here, fine, bring it out. If there's not, let's get back to the real issues at hand and talk about what these folks will do to help the economy. The
president's going to make a speech this Thursday. If you're listening on the radio, then he made it last Thursday. But what are your thoughts in terms of the government creating these massive programs in terms of infrastructure and transportation?
I think it's about time. They should have done that 3 or 4 years ago, but they were thinking at that time that the investments wouldn't have enough impact soon enough, and so they kind of backed off from infrastructure investment. But I think it's the primary area where we can invest, create jobs, and be building something valuable for the future that will make us even more economically competitive. And so this, I think, is a good time to do it. It's unfortunate, though, that the impacts are still going to be a couple of years off in many cases. There's going to be some immediate ones, but I think it's the right path. Much better to do something like that, to invest in that area, than to carry on with programs that aren't going to have long-term benefits for the economy and for our country.
And Derek raises the important point. I remember during the Gibbons administration, they were talking at the time that the state had $6 billion worth of road projects that needed to be done. But I was told if we got the $6 billion, you still couldn't do those projects. You don't have enough people here to do it. That may not be the case today, that you could fast-track some of these things.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we actually have our economic problem is demand, and we've got to put money and dollars into the hands of working people who need to spend that money. And so this sort of direct translation into useful work that puts money in people's hands to support the economy is absolutely on the right track to building the economy from where we are now.
Reuben Kuhn throws his hat into the ring for Congress. Democrats have got an awful lot of candidates and not that many seats available in terms of Congress.
No, the math doesn't figure out that way, does it? It will be interesting to see when all the smoke clears and the primary is over and so on, who's really going to carry that forward. I would just like to see, you know, from a Democratic standpoint, that we have a candidate that's a strong candidate that has some good ideas, some commitment to the state. How do we get jobs back in the state of Nevada? That is absolutely the 100% top priority that we have to have. Who's going to help us do that and do that quickly and do that in such a way that it's also going to have a long-term impact.
Right, but the reality is a first-term congressman doesn't have that much power.
No, they don't. But at the same time, we want someone that's going to at least be in a position where they can position themselves and position the state so that when conversations are happening and they get in, they're going to be at somebody's table and they get a chance to have a voice at the table. They have the right voice for the state.
And I think this is a huge turning point for Hispanics. And we said on this program before, that's really a bad term to use because it covers so many different people. You really need to say, what country are you from? Are your family from? What town are you from? And really not look at it as a homogenous group. But this really will show the power of that community.
Well, that's a double-edged sword. The politics of ethnicity and the politics of race, that may have some short-term advantages, but ultimately the politics of prosperity are what really matters, and that's the tide that lifts all our ships. And that's, as we look at our society and we look at all the wonderful things we want to have, strong education, great parks, great social services, none of that will happen without a strong economy. And I think that as long as the message from the candidates is about that larger message, that they will cross these boundaries of ethnicity and everything and appeal to a broader base. And I think that's what's going to move us forward.
I love that speech, but the reality is politics.
Well, along that line, I think the Democrats are going to enjoy a wealth of riches in candidates that are all focused on not the ethnic part, but Rubin and the other candidates represent the working man and those issues. And certainly his understanding of that community and how it affects their social systems plays right into a good winning dialogue, I think, in these times.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
I couldn't walk in the morning until I met Brian. He straightened me out.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
What a result. My before and after MRIs are absolutely incredible. Now I can go out, play golf without taking any medication at all.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
Obviously there are going to be doubts, but this procedure really works.
If you or someone you know is suffering with chronic or severe back pain and would really like to get their life back, call me today at ProSpinal, 336-3472.
Sarah and Jill have identical kitchens with dull, outdated cabinets. Using equal budgets, they decided to see who could get the best value on an updated kitchen. Sarah used her entire budget ordering new cabinets. 45 days later, they're still not in. In just 3 days, for a fraction of the budget, Jill had enhanced completely renew the finish of her existing cabinets. With money left over, she updated her entire kitchen. Renew your cabinets today for less with Enhance. Call 358-8808 now.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Dave Archer will be here. He's the president and CEO of the Nevada Center for Entrepreneurship and Technology. See you.